Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today.
Good morning. This is Karen and I am your reader today. Today is Thursday, March 28th. It's also the 18th of Adar 2 on the Hebrew calendar. Our parasha this week is Tzav, which means command. And our reading today for the Torah portion is going to be from Leviticus or Vayikra, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. And before we get started in our reading, though, let's take this time and bless God and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Then the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, the garments, the anointing oil, the bull of the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket of matzot. Then assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So Moshe did as the Lord commanded him. When the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting, Moshe said to the congregation, this is what the Lord has commanded to be done. Moshe brought Aaron and his sons and washed them in water. He put the tunic on Aaron, tied the sash on him, clothed him with the robe, put the ephod on him, and tied the skillfully decorated sash of the ephod around him and fastened it on him. He then placed the breastplate on Aaron, and inside the breastplate he put the Urim and the Thummim. He set the turban on his head, and on front of the turban he set the golden plate, the holy crown, just as the Lord commanded Moshe. Moshe took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and so consecrated them. He sprinkled the oil on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, to consecrate them. He poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Then Moshe brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with tunics, tied sashes on them, and fastened headbands on them, as the Lord had commanded Moshe. That was Leviticus chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. For our reading in the prophets or the Nevi'im today, we are in Yeshayahu or Isaiah chapter 14. For the Lord will have compassion on Yaakov and will again choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The outsider will join himself with them and will cling to the house of Yaakov. The people will take them and escort them to their place. The house of Israel will possess them in the land of the Lord as servants and handmaids. They will take their captors captive and rule over their oppressors. Now in the day when the Lord will give you rest from your sorrow and your turmoil and from the hard service you were forced to do, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon and say, how the taskmaster has ceased, the raging oppressor, exactor of gold has ceased. The Lord has broken the rod of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, which struck the people in wrath with continual strokes, which ruled the nations in fury with relentless persecution. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth with a ringing cry. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you, along with the cedars of Lebanon. Since you were laid low, no woodcutter comes up against us. Sheol from below is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. He stirs up the dead spirits for you, even the chief ones of the earth. He makes all the kings of the nations rise up from their thrones. They all answer and say to you, even you have become as weak as us. Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol. With the music of your harps, maggots are spread out under you, and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O bright star, son of the dawn! How you are cut down on the earth, you who made the nations prostrate! You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of meeting in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the high places of the clouds. I will make myself like Elyon. Yet you will be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you, reflecting on what has become of you. Is this the one who shook the earth, who made kingdoms tremble, who made the world a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who never opened the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them lie in glory, each in his own house. But you are cast out of your tomb as a discarded branch, garment of the slain, pierced with a sword, dumped into the stony pit, a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not join with them in burial because you ruined your land. You slaughtered your own people. The offspring of evildoers will never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, so they would not rise up and possess the land, or fill the face of the earth with cities. For I will rise up against them. It is the declaration of the Lord Zevaot. And I will cut off from Babylon name and remnant, offshoot and offspring, declares the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine with marshes of water, and I will sweep it with a broom of destruction. It is a declaration of the Lord Zevaot. The Lord Zevaot has sworn, saying, surely as I thought it, so it will be, as I have purposed. So it will stand. I will break Assyria in my land. On my mountains I will trample him. Then his yoke will be taken off them, his burden removed from their shoulder. This is the purpose planned for the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord Zevaot has purposed, so who will annul it? Since his hand is stretched out, who will turn it back? In the year King Ahaz died, came this burden. Do not rejoice, all you of Philistia, that the rod that struck you is broken. For from the serpent's root comes a viper, and its fruit will be a flying serpent. The firstborn of the poor will feed, and the needy will lie down in safety. I will kill your root with famine, and your survivors will be slain. Wail, O gate, cry, O city, melt away, all of you of Philistia. For smoke is coming from the north, and there is no straggler in its ranks. What will they answer, the messengers of the nation? For the Lord has founded Sion, and the afflicted of his people will find refuge in her. That was Isaiah chapter 14. Now onto our reading in the Ketuvim, or the writings. We will be starting the book of Proverbs, and we will be in Proverbs chapter 1 today. The Proverbs of Shlomo, son of David, king of Israel. To acquire wisdom and discipline, to understand the words of insight, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and fairness, to give discernment to the naive, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise listen and increase learning, and let the discerning obtain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and a puzzle, the sayings of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a garland of grace for your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in. Suppose they say, "Come with us, let's lie in wait for blood. Let's ambush the innocent for no reason. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol, still healthy as they go down to the pit. We'll find all sorts of valuable things. We'll fill our homes with loot. Throw your lot in with us. We'll all have one wallet. My son, do not go along with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed blood. Surely it is useless to spread a net in the eyes of all winged creatures, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. Such is the fate of all gaining by violence. It takes the life of its possessor. Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in public squares. She cries out above the commotion. At the entrances of the city gates, she utters her speech. How long will you naive ones love simplicity? You scoffers delight in scoffing, and you fools hate knowledge. You are repulsed at my rebuke. Behold, I pour out my heart to you. I will make my words known to you, because you refused when I called, and did not pay attention when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignore all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when dread comes on you, when your terror comes like a storm, and your calamity sweeps over you like a whirlwind. When trouble and distress overwhelm you, then they will cry out to me, but I will not answer. They will earnestly seek me, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they will eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own schemes. For the backsliding of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever pays attention to me will live securely and be free from the fear of evil. That was Proverbs, or Mishlei, chapter 1. Now for our reading in the apostolic writings, we will be in Acts chapter 18. After these things, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jewish man named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jewish people to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and began working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was debating every Shabbat in the synagogue, trying to persuade both Jewish and Greek people. Now when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul became occupied with the message, urgently testifying to the Jewish people that Yeshua is the Messiah. But when they resisted and reviled him, he shook out his garment and said, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." After leaving there, Paul went into the house of a man named Titus Justus, a God-fearer whose house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the synagogue leader, put his faith in the Lord, along with his whole household, and many of the Corinthians, upon hearing, were believing and being immersed. Now the Lord said to Paul through a vision in the night, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one shall attack you to harm you. Many people in this city are for me." So he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jewish leaders made a united attack against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the Torah." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jewish people, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or a vicious crime, there would be reason to put up with you, O Jews. But since it is an issue about words, names, and your own law, see to it yourselves. I do not wish to be a judge of these." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then they all grabbed Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Gallio paid no attention to these things. Paul, having stayed many more days, said farewell to the brothers and set sail to Syria. And with him were Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, Paul had his hair cut off, for he was keeping a vow. When they arrived at Ephesus, Paul left Priscilla and Aquila there. But he himself went into the synagogue and debated with the Jewish people. When they asked him to stay longer, he declined, instead taking leave of them while saying, "God willing, I will return to you again." He set sail from Ephesus. After landing in Caesarea, he went up and greeted Messiah's community. Then he went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went one place after another throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jewish man named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man, well versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the ways of the Lord. With a fervent spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the facts about Yeshua, while only being acquainted with the immersion of Yohanan. This man began speaking out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately. When Apollos wanted to cross over to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. Upon arrival, he greatly helped those who by grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jewish people in public, demonstrating through the scriptures that the Messiah was Yeshua. That was Acts chapter 18. If you're reading through the apostolic portions twice this year, today you would also read Revelation chapter 12. That concludes our readings for today. May you continue to have a blessed day as you go about your daily tasks as a busy mom. And until next time, this is Karen wishing you shalom from the Golan Heights.